Hello, and welcome to another bonus episode of the Holistic Trauma Healing Podcast that is exclusively available to you as a Circle member. These episodes are a deeper dive down the holistic trauma healing rabbit hole. You will find yourself challenged, empowered, inspired, and maybe even a little bit uncomfortable. But remember, we're getting to the root of how trauma has affected every aspect of your existence, and that's not always quick or easy. By being part of the Trauma Healer Circle, you are already consciously creating your best possible reality and weaving a new web of life that isn't ruled by the past. I'm so honored you're in my circle. Hello, my Trauma Healer Circle members. Welcome to your second bonus episode for November 2021. I am sort of like feeling like I'm on the outside of something that's happening that I used to be a part of, but then I left it, and now I'm like peeking in the window and watching it happen again, and I have weird feelings about it. And what I'm talking about is the holidays. I'm talking about Thanksgiving. So we just don't really celebrate traditional holidays anymore, but we haven't done a whole lot to replace the ways that we used to celebrate with something else. We haven't really recreated very many new traditions. And basically, like, Halloween to New Year's is sort of this like very weird time for me personally, because I just don't get into it anymore. I don't buy gifts. Last year, the kids insisted that we put up a Christmas tree, and I was like, okay, if you guys want a tree, then you go out to the barn and you get it and you get the ornaments and you set it up, and you're going to be responsible for making sure the dog stays away from it, and then you're going to take it down. And they did, and it was great, and it was really fun to watch them sort of take ownership of having that item of Christmas paraphernalia in our house. Because I basically, when we left Christianity, I just was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm done with all of this. I'm done with happy birthday Jesus cakes, and I'm done with traditional Thanksgiving, and I'm done with drawing names to see who's going to get gifts for Christmas, and I'm done with feeling like pressure to decorate my house. I just didn't enjoy any of those things anymore, and I was sort of doing them out of a sense of obligation and not because they were fun for me or because they felt like a hell yes for me. And several years ago, as we were coming out of Christianity, we sat our kids down and we were like, look, what do you guys need to feel like it's the holidays? What do you need for Christmas or for winter to feel magical for you? And our kids' answers really surprised us. And what they taught me was that all of these things I had been putting pressure on myself to do because I thought that's what I was supposed to do to make the holidays magical wasn't what was most important to them. So their answers were that the three most important things that they needed for the holidays to feel magical for them were to go see the Nutcracker Ballet, which had been a family tradition of ours when we lived in Texas before we moved to Minnesota, and the ballet company near us happened to be putting on the Nutcracker that year. And of course, it was pre-COVID, so we didn't have to worry about that. So they wanted to see the Nutcracker. That was number one. Number two was they wanted to continue our tradition of opening new pajamas on Christmas Eve and then putting our pajamas on and watching a Christmas movie while we ate popcorn and drank hot chocolate. And that was it. Oh, and they wanted to listen to Christmas music. They wanted to make sure that we didn't stop listening to Christmas music, which I personally hate Christmas music, but it's something that my kids and my husband really love. So those were the three things. Simple, right? Like they didn't even mention having presents wrapped under the tree. They didn't even mention having a tree. I was just like, wow, I wish I would have asked you guys this like a long time ago. We never did Santa, so that wasn't ever really a thing. It was mostly just about the other Christmas traditions, going to church, candlelight service, Christmas music, Christmas movies, Christmas tree, big fancy meal. Like they didn't say any of that. And then last year, they were 15 and 16. And so when they were like, we want a tree this year, we still had our tree in storage. And so they just went out and got it and put it up for themselves. This has nothing to do with the podcast that I'm recording for you today. It's just where we're at. And I'm sort of, again, this time of year, it's bringing up like the weirdness of feeling like you're no longer a part of a world that you used to be a part of, but now you're kind of like Scrooge, like standing on the outside of the house, watching Tiny Tim and the rest of his family like gathered around the fire, eating a big meal and celebrating Christmas together, you know? And I'm not Scrooge. I'm really not. I just, for me, if there's no Santa, if there's no baby Jesus, if there's no Christmas carols, if there's no, like, what is even the point? I mean, I feel the same way about Thanksgiving. Like, I don't like traditional Thanksgiving food. I don't like turkey and dressing and stuffing and cranberry sauce. Like, no thank you. I've never liked it. And anytime that I've ever had the authority over what we eat for Thanksgiving, I always do like different things. Like one year I did homemade enchiladas for Thanksgiving. One year we did homemade sushi. We just like stood around our counter and we made homemade sushi, and that's what we had for Thanksgiving. We've done seafood for Thanksgiving. Like we've done all sorts of different things because nobody in my family really enjoys traditional Thanksgiving food. And also, it still feels like there's something missing. And I think what's missing is just that sense of belonging with tradition that we used to have. And now we don't practice those traditions or observe those traditions. And so it feels like there's a sense of loss or lack, or I don't really know. It's weird to describe, but that's the space that I'm sitting in today. It's the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and I actually had someone cancel a call with me, and so I happened to have an hour and a half of time, and I was like, well, I should record a bonus episode, and I have no expectation that you are going to be able to listen to this before Thanksgiving. If you do, great. If not, then you can apply it to Christmas or any other holiday going forward, but yeah, I just wanted to share that I'm in this like weird space of not even knowing like what to do, you know? Like I don't want to just practice gratitude and thankfulness on Thanksgiving. Like I don't need an excuse. I don't need a day to be grateful, you know? I'm grateful every fucking day of my life. I don't want to celebrate baby Jesus and the three wise men and the Star of Bethlehem. I don't want to like eat mediocre traditional Thanksgiving and Christmas food. Like, and it's weird because you can feel like a Scrooge, but then at the same time, it's like, but if I were to go back to doing those things, they wouldn't feel authentic. So I'm sort of sitting with the complexity of I'm not a Scrooge. There's part of me that's like, oh, you're just being a grouch about it, but I'm really not. I'm just being in alignment with myself about it. And trying to be respectful of like what my kids want and what's important to them. And if something like a tree is important to them, then I'm definitely not going to forbid them from putting a tree up. But it's like, I don't know. It's really difficult to explain. I don't feel like a Scrooge. I just don't feel like any of the other traditional stuff fits me anymore. And it's a weird place to be. So that's the first thing I have to share. And then completely pivoting in a totally different direction and talking about something else, I thought it would be fun to do a bonus podcast episode that isn't so much devoted to problems or like questions that people have with healing, like how do I break out of a shame cycle? How do I stop nitpicking my partner? How do I alchemize my emotions? I thought it would be fun to do a podcast episode that was more focused on what are some of the highlights or the milestones that I would know that I'm healing? Like, how are some ways that I can look at my life and sort of take an inventory of the ways that I am healing, of the progress that I've made? Something that I do with my coaching clients is when they have a big milestone, a big breakthrough, I actually give them the homework assignment of celebrating. How can you celebrate yourself? Like you've just walked through this darkness and you've had this big breakthrough, and it would be easy to just be like, oh, okay, great. Like I figured that out. I feel so much better. Let's move on to the next thing. But actually like pausing and being like, you know what? I fucking did that. I fucking healed. And here are all the ways that I can see in my life that that is happening, like it's playing out before my eyes. And I wanted to talk about that today. So this podcast episode is called You Know You're Healing When. And then I'm going to give you some examples. So let's dive in. So the first thing, you know you're healing when you create your life instead of feeling like a victim to your life. You know you're healing when you're no longer walking around with the attitude of bad things are always happening to me. Well, I'm not surprised that this happened because this is just how it is for me. It seems like nothing ever works out for me. Of course this didn't work out. Nothing works out. Like that's that victim consciousness, always expecting the worst. And when we're always expecting the worst, that's what happens because that's what we expect. Our energy is aligned with the worst outcome or with things not working out. So that's why we're like, of course it did. Of course this is why this happened. You know, this is why we can't have nice things. So you know you're healing when you're no longer operating in that mentality. And instead, you're acknowledging how your choices, whether they're conscious or unconscious, are creating your life. Whether you like it or you don't, it's still in your hands to make choices that create your life. And most of the time when we are living lives that we don't love and that we feel like a victim to, it's because we don't realize the power of our choice. And we're living in that autopilot on that hidden programming where we keep responding, or I'm sorry, not responding, we keep reacting in the same way over and over and over, and then wondering why we're not getting anywhere. But the reaction is unconscious. So when we come to a place of awareness and consciousness, we can take those unconscious reactions that were always a choice. I mean, whether you realized it or not, they were always a choice. They were always creating your reality. And I talked about this in bonus episode 18. So if you haven't listened to that one, go back and listen to it because that will give you more insight and perspective on what I'm talking about here. But you were creating your reality all along. Most of the time, it was probably unconscious. When you come into awareness and consciousness, then you have the ability to consciously make different choices and to respond instead of reacting. And then you no longer feel like a victim of your life. It doesn't mean you don't still make mistakes. It doesn't mean that you can't sometimes still fall back into that victim consciousness. But what it does mean is that you're living in such awareness that you come back to consciousness and awareness and you realize, I create my life with my reactions, with my responses. Ultimately, my choices are what creates my life. And I no longer feel like a victim of my life because I understand the power of my choice. So that's my first, you know you're healing when you create your life instead of feeling like a victim of your life. The second one, you know you're healing when you're setting and sticking to your boundaries. You're setting and sticking to your boundaries. An unhealed person can't set boundaries. The thought of setting a boundary, of saying no, is terrifying. I'm sure as you've gone on in your journey, boundaries have come up. Like that's just part of the healing, is recognizing all of the ways that we have enmeshed ourselves with other people and we've made other people responsible for our feelings and we've sought to cast blame on other people. We've said yes when we should have said no. We've done things that aren't in alignment with who we are because we wanted to make other people happy. Unplugging from all of that and plugging back into your authentic self requires setting and sticking to boundaries. And I want to just tell you that if you've been setting and sticking to boundaries for a while and it still doesn't feel like it comes naturally, that's okay. That's really okay. The point isn't whether or not it feels good to set boundaries. The point is whether or not you are consciously choosing to set and stick to boundaries, because that conscious choice creates a reality in which you are able to live authentically and you are honoring yourself, your time, your gifts, your energy, your finances, your relationships, your self-care, your nervous system hygiene. Like you need boundaries to honor those things that are important to you. Without boundaries, you can't honor the things that are important to you. Without boundaries, you don't have the ability to say like, here's where I end and you begin. I'm free and so are you. And so you get all of this, you know, enmeshment and codependency, which leads to resentment, which leads to more unconscious reactions, which leads to a reality that you don't love, where you feel like you're always trapped. But busting out of that requires setting and sticking to boundaries. So even if it still feels unfamiliar, even if you still get insanely uncomfortable every time you have to set a boundary, that doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. You're not broken. It just means that your nervous system was so unfamiliar with boundaries for so long that now setting boundaries is something that you're going to have to work with your nervous system on so that it does become familiar. And the more familiar you get with setting boundaries, the safer it feels to set boundaries, the less uncomfortable it feels to set boundaries. So you know you're healing when you're setting and sticking to your boundaries. Third thing, you know you're healing when you're thinking for yourself. You're thinking critically. You're questioning authority. You're looking at all of the little and big things that you've just accepted for your whole life, and you're able to put them under the microscope and go, is this me? Does this align with me? Is this true for me? How do I feel about this? I was spoon-fed this, but I'm not actually sure I like it. I don't even like the taste of it. I kind of want to spit it out of my mouth. I don't want to eat this anymore. So you're thinking for yourself. You're not relying on other people to think for you. And I see this a lot on Instagram where people think they're thinking for themselves, but really the idea came from something they saw on social media. And in their subconscious somewhere, it makes sense to them or it resonates with them. And so then they're like, oh yeah, I'm thinking for myself. Like, this is how I actually feel. And I'm not saying that being inspired by content on Instagram is bad or wrong, or that that means you're not thinking for yourself. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I am saying is that even if something initially resonates or rings true for you, you know you're thinking for yourself when you can go back and you can be like, does this actually resonate or ring true for me? What about this resonates and rings true for me? What about this doesn't resonate with me? What about this fits me? What about this doesn't fit me? And when it comes to like big things like making medical decisions for yourself, like it requires you to think for yourself, to not look outside of yourself and see what everyone else is doing, but to come back to yourself and to ask, what is true for me? What is best for me? And that, I mean, that goes not just medical decisions, but that can go for anything. Like, am I doing this because it's what everyone else is doing? Am I doing this because it's what's popular right now? Am I doing this because this is what's best for me right now? Am I questioning authority, or am I going with the grain? Those are all the ways that we can start to come back to thinking for ourselves. And we may still land at the same decision, but at least now we've landed there from a place of authenticity and integrity, and not because someone else told us to do it or because someone else spoon-fed us the information or we felt pressure to make a decision. So you know you're healing when you're thinking for yourself. Fourth one, you know you're healing when you're feeling your feelings instead of suppressing them or distracting yourself from them. When we are in our unconscious, we are like a head walking around with a body, but we don't live in our body. We live in our heads. So then when we have those uncomfortable sensations and feelings in our bodies, the mind takes over. The ego comes in and it starts to create a story. It creates a story. It makes those feelings mean something. So if we experience anxiety, for example, when we're not in awareness of that anxiety, when we're in our heads about it, which is where anxiety likes for us to be, right? Is in our heads with that like cyclical overthinking, overanalyzing everything, constantly second guessing ourselves. Like, that's pretty typical of anxiety. When we're in our heads about it, we stay in our heads. So we're not actually feeling the anxiety. We're just thinking about it. And because we're thinking about it, back to bonus episode 18, that creates more feeling in our body. So the more we dwell on it, the more anxious we feel. And at the same time, we're dwelling on it, but we're also trying to get rid of it. It doesn't work that way. Whatever you're trying to get rid of or fix, you can't dwell on. So it doesn't make sense, right? It's like a contradiction. It's an oxymoron. And then because we've created this story about this anxiety and what it must mean that something bad is about to happen. It must mean that things aren't going to work out for me. It must mean, you know, whatever the ego loves to make meaning out of things. It loves to write stories for us to latch onto and to make those stories a part of our identities. We're still not feeling those feelings. We're still just thinking about them. We're still just making a story out of them. So you know you're healing when you're not doing that anymore and you're not distracting yourself from your feelings. You know, you feel anxious, so you pick up your phone and you zone out to scroll. You feel, depressed, so you turn on TV and you zone out to, you know, not feel depressed or whatever. And I'm not saying that scrolling and turning on the TV, like sometimes dissociating is a really great thing. Like dissociating isn't necessarily bad. It's just when we live in that place because we're trying to suppress our feelings or distract ourselves from our feelings or even deny our feelings, that's when it gets, you know, sticky. That's when we get that trauma energy because then we're doing it unconsciously. It's like an unconscious reaction to anxiety is to dissociate. When you're making a conscious choice, you can say, you know what? I recognize that I'm feeling anxiety in my body and it's too strong for me to really do anything with right now. But I know that if I scroll on my phone for 15 minutes, I'm going to feel like slightly less charged about this anxiety. And then I'm going to be able to come back to it and really like process it in my body and feel it and shake and move and embody it, whatever you need to do. So you know you're healing when you're feeling your feelings instead of suppressing them or distracting yourself from them. And I would even add to that, you know you're healing when you're no longer afraid of your feelings. When your feelings don't become this thing that you dread. Like if you are used to experiencing anxiety when you wake up in the mornings, like you could dread waking up in the morning because you know that that anxiety is coming. What would it be like instead to, first of all, not have the expectation every day that anxiety is going to be there the moment you wake up? And also, if that anxiety is there, to just be fully present with it and just feel it. You know, I've talked about before, I know I mentioned this in the Nervous System 101 workshop, and I can't remember if I mentioned this on a podcast episode or not, but for me, I feel anxiety as a knot in my throat, and then it sort of like goes down into my chest where I feel like heart palpitations and flutters, and then that sort of goes down into my solar plexus area where I feel like a sick, nauseous, hot feeling. So for me, anxiety is like from my throat to my diaphragm. So it's like a 1 foot space in my body. And when I was feeling anxious and I was unconscious about it, I was in my head about it, then I was trying to avoid it. I was trying to fix it. My ego was creating all of these stories that it meant something, that I was never going to be well, that I was always going to be on psych meds, that, you know, da 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 da. Like, but then I learned how to feel it. And it's not comfortable. But I was feeling it anyway. I just wasn't doing it consciously. I was doing it in a way that was like creating even more anxiety because I was in my head about it. So the way that I learned to feel anxiety was to literally, when that feeling in my body came on, to stop whatever it was that I was doing and like sit down or lay down and go into my body and be like, all right, body, if we're going to feel this anxiety right now, then I'm not going to distract myself from it. I'm not going to pretend like it's not there. I'm not going to pick up my phone and zone out. I'm actually going to sit here and I'm going to feel the knot in my throat. I'm going to feel that sick, hot feeling in my solar plexus. I'm going to feel my heart flutter. Like it's doing it anyway. So I might as well be present with it. That's a big, huge healing step. Does it guarantee that I'm never going to feel those uncomfortable sensations? No, it doesn't. In fact, sometimes when I would lay on the floor and feel into those sensations, the volume went up and they got worse. And sometimes the volume went down and they got better. The point is where I wasn't trying to fix it anymore. I wasn't trying to get rid of it. I was just being with it. And when you're with it in that way, then you're no longer afraid of it. And the fear of the feelings is what causes us to try to suppress them. So you know you're healing when you're no longer afraid of your feelings. Next one, along the lines of feelings, you know you're healing when you no longer take responsibility for others' feelings or make other people responsible for your feelings. When you can own your feelings, even if they're confusing, even if you don't understand where they came from, even if your ego is trying to make meaning and create a story out of it. When you can own your feelings and you can also have that boundary with other people of your feelings are your feelings, my feelings are my feelings. I am responsible for my behaviors, my choices, my reactions, and my responses to my feelings. You are responsible to your choices, your behaviors, your reactions, and your responses to your feelings. I'm gonna grab a drink really fast. So we have a tendency to, in unconsciousness, we have a tendency to try to take responsibility for other people's feelings, and we want to fix other people's feelings. And this is characteristic of the fawn response, right? So changing and modifying ourselves to fit in, to please others, to not stand out. And this leads to this sense of false responsibility where we're not taking responsibility for our feelings, but we're trying to take responsibility for everyone else's feelings. And we want everyone else to feel good and happy and peaceful. And even if we don't feel that way, we try to create that for other people. That's taking responsibility for someone else's feelings. It actually is like radically different to be able to say, you know what? Maybe I hurt you. Like, right? We can do things that cause people to have hurt feelings. And we can take responsibility for that when we do. But just because I've hurt you, I can own that. I can apologize for that. I can try to make that right. And still, however you react or respond is still your choice. I'm not responsible for your feelings. And nobody wants to be a dick and like do things that hurt people and upset people on purpose. Right? So it's having that, like just yesterday, for example, I got a DM from someone. Here, I'll read it to you because it's absolutely crazy. I got a DM from someone on Instagram. They apparently had sent me a DM before, which was very hateful and spiteful and very inappropriate. And I don't respond to DMs like that. So I blocked them and then I deleted it. And just a few hours later, I got another DM, and apparently it was from the same person. And here's what it said. And I did not respond to them. So it sounds like they're responding to me, but I actually never sent them a message. No, Lindsay, you, all caps, need to seek help. You blocked me because you're wrong? Sad. Looks like you can't let others have other opinions. So I guess I shouldn't care if people follow my rapist or my abuser. It's all up to me to not care, right? Weak. Talking out your fucking ass. You know zero about trauma if your response to me calling you out was blocking me. Like, and this is not an unusual occurrence, unfortunately. But like that person is clearly feeling some feelings. Maybe they read a post of mine and it didn't sit well with them. It didn't resonate. It wasn't for them. And instead of being able to sit with that discomfort on their own, they're making me responsible for their feelings. And I can take a message like that. And then, I mean, I even told this to my husband. I was like, I just want to screenshot this message and like put it on my profile for people to see, like basically like calling this person out. And he was like, I don't think that's a very good idea. And I was like, I know it's not a good idea. That's why I'm not doing it. I'm just telling you what I want to do. So I was able to acknowledge that my reaction was to want to be spiteful and vengeful and like screenshot what they posted and then blast it out for all, you know, 9,400 followers of mine to see what an asshole this person was. That would have been a reaction. And even if it was completely justified for me to do that, that reaction would create a reality that I don't want. And it would also create like an energetic reputation of me that is not in alignment with who I am. Because I'm not a spiteful person. I don't want revenge against people. I actually do know that I'm not responsible for how this person feels. And I hope they get help. And I hope that they have community and a therapist. And like, I hope that they have resources to help them heal whatever it is that's hurting so much inside of them. But me reposting their stuff and being vengeful and spiteful about it is not going to help anything. So in that moment, Like that person was definitely making me responsible for their feelings. And my unconscious reaction was to then want to be vengeful and like blast out to the internet the horrible things that they said. But instead, I came back to awareness. I came back to, who am I? I'm not a vengeful person. I'm not spiteful. So posting something like that would not be in alignment with who I am and with my values. That's not what I want to do. And I don't want to create a reputation for myself on the internet where if you send me a shitty DM, I'm going to blast it out for everyone. So that's taking responsibility for my own feelings and then also for the reactions that I wanted to have to those feelings. I'm healing. And you know you're healing when you no longer take responsibility for others' feelings or make others responsible for your feelings. Next one. You know you're healing when you feel safe to take expansive risks and try new things. This one right now for me is hitting particularly hard because I have just gone through 3 weeks of absolutely incredible business expansion. My Nervous System 101 workshop like went far and above what I ever thought was possible. And I don't know why I didn't think it was possible. Like, of course, it's life-changing, transformational information. If you guys didn't believe that, you wouldn't be here. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here. So of course it is. But there was a part of me that was still like, oh, it's probably not possible. It's probably not going to get out to as many people as I want it to. It's so unrealistic to think that it could reach or that I could sell that many tickets. But it happened. And then I noticed in the days leading up to the workshop and even a few days afterwards, I was feeling all kinds of anxiety in my body. And of course, I felt like a whole fucking hypocrite because in the workshop, I'm talking about how I believed I had healed anxiety and insomnia. But in the week leading up to the workshop and then a few days later, I was experiencing anxiety and insomnia. So there was like part of me that was like, oh, you're a joke. Like, you're not real. You're a liar. You haven't actually healed anxiety and insomnia. Look at you. If you would have healed them, you wouldn't be experiencing them now, would you? And then I realized, oh my gosh, like this expansion that's happening in my business is actually creating some dysregulation in my nervous system. And my nervous system is talking to me with feelings of anxiety and insomnia. So I was taking a risk. I was expanding in my business. And my body wasn't quite sure it was safe. So rather than stop what I was doing, I hired a coach. And I'm like, you know what? I am noticing that when I'm in the process of expansion and taking risks, something about that still doesn't feel safe. So this is something I want to work on because I want to feel safe with expanding and trying new things and taking risks. So maybe I haven't quite nailed this aspect of how to know you're healing, but I can be in awareness about it. And then I can take appropriate steps and I can consciously respond by calling in support and hiring someone to help me rather than reacting. And my reaction would have just been, just shut down the whole thing. Just like, don't do this anymore. It's clearly not working. If this was what I was supposed to be doing, I wouldn't be feeling all this anxiety about it. Like, I think that, again, that's my ego like making a story about the anxiety, right? Like it's making it mean something. If I was really supposed to be doing this, then I wouldn't feel this way. Like, no. You can be completely in alignment with what your purpose and your calling are, totally operating in your gifts and in your zone of genius, and still experience feelings that don't seem to make sense. And the feelings, again, they're just messengers, right? They're just messengers letting you know what still needs to be healed, what old things are coming back up. So you know you're healing when you feel safe to take expansive risks and try new things. And if you don't feel safe to take expansive risks and try new things yet, that's okay. Just be aware of it. And then invite the safety in. Invite in, you know, in order to feel safe and expansive to try new risks, who would I need to become? What would I need to feel? How can I work with my nervous system to create that, right? All right, next one. You know you're healing when you lose interest in things and people that don't align with who you've become. This can be a really, really hard one because I think in our culture, and it's so weird because our culture is becoming increasingly online. So in-person community, especially because of the pandemic, has gone down, which is really sad. So we're increasingly making connections and friendships online, which can also be great. But I think in our culture, whether it's online or in real life, there's this sort of underlying belief that, you know, friends are forever. And like, if you have a good friend or a person in your life that, you know, breaking up with them or not being in their life anymore or not wanting them in your life or setting a boundary with them is like hurtful in some way. And it might be hurtful, but our boundaries are going to disappoint people, right? And if you notice that like you are becoming this person, living in awareness, consciously making decisions that create a different reality than the one that you've had in the past, there's going to come a time when you are in relationship with someone who they just don't support that. They don't support you creating that. That doesn't make them a bad person. You know, nobody's saying that they're a bad person or you're a bad person. It's just that sometimes we outgrow people. Sometimes we outgrow hobbies. We outgrow things that we used to be really interested in. And that's okay. It doesn't mean that we're disposing of those things, but we've outgrown them and we can't live in our authenticity and with integrity and still dabble in those things or with those people, you know? One of the hardest ways that this has been true in my life is leaving evangelical Christianity. My entire community, literally all of my friends, were also believers, also evangelical Christians. And as I began to outgrow evangelical Christianity, those relationships became more awkward, more strained, not as fun for me. I felt like we had less in common. And there was sort of a natural drifting for a lot of those relationships. There's a part of me that's still sad about that because those were special people in my life. Those were meaningful friendships and relationships. Going to church was meaningful for me. I still miss corporate worship, believe it or not. I still miss that. I wish that I had a circle in my life right now where we could gather in real life and feel each other's energy as we, you know, chant or drum or sing or something together, because that energy is so electric and it really does make you feel spiritual. And I like that feeling. I'm not ashamed to admit that. But if I was to keep going to church and keep singing those words and keep acting like I still believed in it with my whole heart, that would be out of alignment with who I am now. And that wouldn't be great for me, and that wouldn't be great for those people, because community deserves us to show up in alignment with ourselves just as much as we deserve to have community who aligns with us. And I want to be really clear that I'm not saying at all that people who align with you equals people who agree with you all the time. I definitely have aligned relationships in my life. In fact, my husband is one of those relationships. We are aligned, but we don't always agree. And there is a difference. And I think it's really important to state that there is a difference. And then you can sit with that and you can figure out what that means for you. Does having aligned relationships equal you guys agree with each other all the time? I would say that it's actually a sign of healing when you can be in relationship with someone you don't agree with all the time, but that doesn't necessarily really come up in your friendship. Like, it's a moot point. It doesn't matter. You don't need to agree with each other to know that your energy is aligned and that you're each on a journey to being the most authentic person that you can be. So you know you're healing when you lose interest in things and people that don't align with who you've become. The next one. You know you're healing when you're taking care of your basic needs before anything or anyone else. Have you fed yourself today? Have you prioritized sleep? Have you gone outside and breathed some fresh air and put your face in the sunshine for a minute? Have you moved your body today? Do you have access to clean water and nourishing foods and shelter and clothing. A lot of women especially, I think, we neglect our own needs. Like, we don't feed ourselves, but we remember to feed our kids. We remember to put our kids down for naps, but then we don't take naps ourselves, you know? So when you pivot into meeting your own needs, acknowledging when you need rest, acknowledging and listening to your body's hunger and thirst cues, like even something as simple as like peeing when you need to pee, you know, like I remember I was actually interviewing Evelyn, who's one of our Trauma Healer Circle members, for the podcast. And I remember her needing to stop and pee in the middle of the podcast episode. And her telling me so transparently, it was amazing. And it taught me a lesson that day. And it's a lesson I've taken with me ever since. And I've actually done it myself when I've been on people's podcasts or when I've been interviewing someone for mine. And she was like, you know what? I used to sit through these meetings and I would like squirm and feel really antsy and not be able to focus because I had to pee so bad, because I thought that it was rude or disrespectful of someone else's time whenever I ask if we could just pause so I could use the bathroom. But I realized that I wasn't listening to my body and honoring my body. So I need to pee. And I don't know if I've ever told Evelyn this, but that was like pivotal for me. Because I did the exact same thing. I would ignore and fight against my own body's cues to need to use the restroom because I didn't want to be an inconvenience to someone, because I thought I was wasting their time, because I thought I was being disrespectful. And the truth is that I wasn't honoring and taking care of my own basic needs. I was putting other people ahead of my own basic needs. And like, I have a bathroom literally around the corner from my office. I can go into that bathroom, I can pee, I can be back in less than 60 seconds. So it's not really like I'm wasting anyone's time. I'm not, you know, creating some kind of inconvenience. The only inconvenience is like you have to edit that part of the recording out of your podcast. But that's a really small thing to do to take care of your basic needs instead of putting other people and their time ahead of you. So you know you're healing when you're taking care of your basic needs before anything or anyone else. And I have two more here. You know you're healing when you're able to see complexity and nuance instead of binaries. Our traumatized nervous systems can be so, so binary, where everything is black, white, right, wrong, good, bad. And that's because life and death is the most binary thing there is, right? And so when your nervous system is really dysregulated, it sounds silly, but biologically, it's perceiving things that aren't really threats as threats. So when you're able to sit in the gray of, you know, not being in a binary, whatever the situation or the idea, whatever it is, when you're able to sit with that complexity, that is a great sign that you have created more room and capacity in your nervous system. And I was actually, one of my clients is dealing with setting boundaries right now. And they were telling me that they want to go into the binaries when it comes to boundaries, and such a binary that it's like, I can either set boundaries or I can't set boundaries. And I was talking through all of that with them, and I was explaining, like, when it comes to binaries, they are so unfamiliar with your nervous system that they feel like a threat. And setting boundaries actually is not a threat to your survival, but because it's so unfamiliar, it feels like it is. And boundaries especially are not binary, and they're very complex. I have several episodes on the podcast about this. If you haven't heard them, please go listen to them, because they're really, really helpful in helping to explain the complexity of binaries. And this is just one topic that people tend to try to be binary about, but it really isn't. So, for example, you can set a boundary and know that it was the absolute right thing for you to do and still feel FOMO, fear of missing out. You can set a boundary and know that it was the absolute right thing for you to do and still feel sad because your boundary disappointed someone else. So a binary nervous system can't hold that complexity. A nervous system that has more capacity and flexibility can handle that complexity. And so you can sit with all the little nuances of the situation, of the boundary, of your feelings about it, and you can still make a choice that honors you and is in alignment with you, even if there's some confusion or some grief or some sadness around it. So when you're able to sit in that complexity and hold nuance instead of being in those binaries, that's another way that you know you're healing. Like, it's a big deal to be able to see a post on social media and tease apart the complexity of it instead of just seeing it as a good post or a bad post, a right post or a wrong post. There's just so much complexity, and it takes a nervous system that has had a lot of work, you know, a nervous system that has been worked with a lot and that you've been gentle and slow with, but also just like ever so slightly expanding that window of tolerance and creating more resiliency and more flexibility. And then things that used to be very black and white for you before don't have to feel that way anymore. And you don't have to get trapped in those binaries. Binaries only exist to trap people. Like, you're supposed to plant your flag in one camp and then you have to stay there forever. And that's not real life, but that's how the majority of people are living, because the majority of people are living with very binary nervous systems where everything is life and death. So you know you're healing when you're able to see the complexity and nuance instead of binaries. And if this is something that you really want to work on, then as a Trauma Healer Circle member, you have unlimited access to my course, Belief Beyond the Binary. And that's exactly why I created this course, because I wanted to help you understand why your nervous system is attracted to binary belief systems, and then how to start thinking for yourself again, which is one of the other points I made on how to know when you're healing. And then the very last thing, this is kind of a funny one, but you know you're healing when you're giving fear the middle finger. When you can acknowledge the fear that you feel about something and do it anyway, oh my gosh, that is massive. That's massive healing. And if you've been able to do that, even if it's something that most people would say that it was small, if you've been able to do that, like, give yourself some credit. That's a sign that you're healing. That's a mile marker for you to be able to see a risk, see an opportunity for expansion, set a boundary, and feel the fear about it, and then be like, fuck you, fear. I'm doing it anyway, because this is what I need to do to be my most authentic self. This is what I need to do to live in alignment with myself and with my truth. And when you can look fear in the eye and just be like, all right, you're there. I feel you, but you don't get to keep me stuck and you don't get to hold me back. Wow. Wow. Massive, right? I would love to know if any of you have gotten to the point in your journey where you still feel fear, but you're like, fuck it, I'm doing it anyway. And even if I'm taking a risk and I'm expanding and I feel fear about it, fuck it, I'm doing it anyway. I'm no longer going to be fear's bitch. I'm no longer fear's bitch. Like, you just don't have to be. And I can so honestly acknowledge that I feel fear every day. Some of my clients and some of you have even been like, Lindsay, you just make it look so easy. You make looking or showing up on social media authentically look easy. You make setting boundaries sound easy. You make, and I want to be very transparent. Like, if I make it look easy, I'm not trying to make it look easy. I try to just share as authentically as I can. But I still do that with fear. I still feel like fear of rejection, fear that I'm going to say the wrong thing, fear that I'm going to lose followers, fear that you guys are going to unsubscribe from your Trauma Healer Circle membership. I still feel all of those things. But I know that living in fear and choosing to submit to fear keeps me stuck. It keeps me in the same place, and it keeps me out of alignment with myself. So you know you're healing when you're giving fear a big fuck you. Yeah. So, okay, you guys, that's all I have for you today. I'm so grateful that you're in my circle. Thank you for being here. And if you have any other ways to know that you're healing that you want to share, please bring those to the forum. We would love to hear from all of you and learn from you and share, you know, the different ways that we know we're healing. And I'm sure like there's lots of ways to know that you're healing. I definitely did not exhaust them all here. So please come to the forum and share with us how you know you're healing, or if you've experienced any of these little things, then share those with us as well. And however you're celebrating the holiday this week, which is American Thanksgiving week, then I hope that you can take any tidbits from this episode into the week and still be your most authentic, honoring self and show up with your family and show up with your friends and do whatever it is that you're doing in a way that aligns with you the most. So thank you for being here, and I hope you have a lovely week. Happy Thanksgiving if you're celebrating, and if you're not, then just happy whatever. And I'll talk to you guys again very soon.